Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ Carson on WEEI.
I think they'll get back to empowering Drake May a little bit. There's no candidate out there with a longer resume of varied offensive styles than Josh. So that's why I look at it and say, good, he can do anything. You don't have to try and fit him to a system necessarily, Drake May, because Josh can meet him halfway wherever he is.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Wow. KJMWEEI, good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. That's Tommy Kern earlier this week on the afternoon show talking about the return, again, of Josh McDaniels. And I don't want to be completely pessimistic. I try and call it down the middle like a WWE referee. I'm totally kidding. The one thing I would ask, though, is if Josh McDaniels was such the great hire, how come his name was never in the mix for any other offensive coordinator positions before now and since he's been gone from the Raiders? I'm not saying he can't get the job done. I'm just asking a question. It's more rhetorical, right? If the guy was in such a demand, now the question I would ask is, was his name not in the mix because he was only going to look for head coaching gigs? Which would be a fair assessment because that's the last thing you did, right? If you've been a head coach and that's the last thing you did and the next thing you might get called about, you feel like you could still head coach. Or maybe there's some intel that says maybe not a head coach guy, but better as the OC, and maybe we would look at him. But I say this sometimes, and I jokingly say this, but it is factual. If a student gets 2 100s on a test, and then a new teacher comes in and administers that same test, do you think that student's not going to get a 100 again just because there's a new teacher? That's Tom Brady to Josh McDaniels, right? So when people tell you, hey, look, what Josh McDaniels did with Tom Brady, it really was just kind of advised. Tom had already won 2 Super Bowls. So when you come in, you're not teaching the guy anything new. You're discussing things that said cyborg has seen on the field and how it may integrate with what you do. Now, is Josh McDaniels at the point where he can then be that kind of cyborg? I think this would be the first chance to really see it, because with Mac Jones, I just thought there just was not the quality of talent of guys, of a quarterback, right? Like Drake, let me get back to Mac Jones. Like Mac Jones seems to have been built of like high school through these academies. And, you know, pretty much he's not only the guy that you want to throw the ball, but he can do the local commercial for the ice cream store. Then when you get the NFL, like, there are guys across me be like, man, if I don't get this tackle right now, I may not be able to pay for someone to get out of this situation. Like, there's a new form of desperation that usually only could be made up with athleticism. Mac Jones did not have the athleticism. Now, with Drake May, you do have the athleticism. You do have something that's built for somewhat for the modern game, who can compete. So the question made to show that that Josh McDaniels still is current with today's game calling plays. Because you can only go by what you did last. And if you're going by what they did in Vegas, and keep in mind, it wasn't like he had bad tools in Vegas. You did have Josh Jacobs as your running back. He's no slouch. You know, you went with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's probably thinking that you could really accomplish things with Humpty Dumpty that's been cracked on the wall four times. And that could have been a problem. But the good thing is you don't have to worry about him dealing with the locker room and, you know, how people are taken to his coaching style and how he manages. You know, like, if that's all he's going to do, then yeah, I think you can get a very capable Josh McDaniels. But I also, and this is just my conspiracy theorist mind, and if you think conspiracy theories are crazy, maybe they're not. What's going on in the world? Is what if the Vrabel situation doesn't work out? Who would you then turn to if you're Robert Kraft? Zach, who do you think that would be?
If the Vrabel situation doesn't work out.
If Vrabel doesn't work out, who do the Krafts believe would be their next head coach?
Probably McDaniels.
Probably McDaniels. So does McDaniels really take this job knowing that if something does not go right with Vrabel, because keep in mind, Vrabel's brought in his kind of like his assistant GM, Elliot Wolf, kind of has his team. It's the tag team of Groh and Wolf versus Vrabel and Cowden. I don't know, two out of three falls? So if you're Josh McDaniels, you might be looking at the situation as like, hey, if these chips fall wrong and go all these different ways, and the conversation may be, oh, wow, you know, we really need to have an offensive-minded head coach, I'm the guy. Because before we knew that Mayo had this signed agreement with Kraft to become the next head coach after Bill Belichick, it now might explain why Josh McDaniels is like, I'm out of here. Because I always felt that McDaniels was going to be the next head coach after Belichick. He just couldn't be under Belichick's purvey and be the coach in waiting. Like, so this is why I think the story is fascinating. The other part of it is, too, you don't think the Krafts know how much it would take to get Josh McDaniels' services? Now, keep in mind, this team is desperate for some type of offensive input. We all saw the offense this year, right? So you think Josh McDaniels could command a higher price when he's off the market and Kraft already knows what he's been paying you throughout the past? Is there a possibility, conspiracy theory alert, that part of the conditions of McDaniels coming back is kind of similar to what was offered up to Gerard Mayo at the end of Bill Belichick's tenure, like if things do not work out with Mike Vrabel, that he would be on the consideration list? Now, of course, they'll bring in their Byron Leftwiches and Pep Hamiltons. They'll be there. Coffee machine's over there. Thanks for coming in. They'll go through that again. But could this be set up for Josh McDaniels to be the next head coach? Because if the defense doesn't take, or watch this, Elliot Wolf doesn't get the players. This is a fascinating story that's developing by bringing Josh McDaniel back. So everybody's like, yeah, let's put the band back together. But people intrinsically have their own desires and needs. You don't think that do you believe that Josh, and this is, you ask yourself this, or you can answer at 617-779-7937. Do you believe that Josh McDaniels is ready to just be the offensive coordinator for the Patriots for the rest of his career? Or do you think he's doing this to get another head coaching job? Or stick around for this head coaching job? Because what? Drake May's going in year two, so it'd be year two, it'd be tier three, it'd be year four. So there's a three-year window to be able to see what is and what isn't. And then you'll have to make a decision about Drake May. And Drake May could also make that decision. Now, of course, the team has the option to sign the fifth year. So they can keep Drake May here for 5 years without Drake May saying, nope, I'm not going to do it. The team has the option. So in 3 years, if things don't necessarily take off as a whole, but Drake May is doing well, let's just say you kind of have a replay of Drew Bledsoe. Oh, you're doing all these things offensively out the frame, but, you know, things just seem to not be clicking with this Pete guy. For those of a lesser age, Pete Carroll, who's just named, ironically, the head coach of Vegas, was once a coach here. I know, like, you probably, like, I was born and Belichick was the coach, and that's all I know. But when Pete Carroll was here, he had an array of talent. Drew Bledsoe was an all-star. But for some reason, there just was a disconnect. I don't know what the reason was. I wasn't on the team or anything. And then you bring in Belichick. The rest is history. What if Vrabel is the sitting Pete Carroll and McDaniels could be attemptively being the young gun in waiting to say, I know this organization. This is the organization that raised me. This is the organization that gave me my first chance. This is the organization that allowed me to reject a head coaching job with the Colts and come. I turned down a head coaching job to come back here. Maybe, much as we talk about like Vrabel, yeah, come back and Foley's be player. But what if really Josh McDaniels is the prodigal son for the Crafts? Like, what if he's the guy that they really want? Because the fans scream the loudest about Vrabel. But what if McDaniels is the guy that they really want long-term? Because do you think there's just going to be a long-term McDaniels and Vrabel for 10 years? And McDaniels is going to be here for 10 years just sitting in as the OC? Oh, no. Oh, no. Maybe I've been watching too much Knots Landing in my free time, Zach. All these dramas and passion plays that go on. But if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm not coming back to be the offensive coordinator if I'm not having a conversation about what is my potential future with the team. And if you think that the Crafts would just say, yeah, you're our guy for the long term. You remember Jerod Mayo didn't even make it to Monday. 617-779-7937. KJ here on WEEI. Remember, the AFC and the NFC championship game will be broadcast here on WEEI. Plus, we still have You Better You Bet with Nick Costas. That comes on at 11. Let's go to Pete in the car. Pete, thanks so much for calling WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
Good morning to you.
Pete, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. You were hitting on something I think is really important that I think people need to kind of pay attention to, which is you have a four-year window with the contract, a cheap quarterback contract. So you can approach free agency this year and spend big money but put them on four-year deals, and then you can see how the next 4 years go and put your quarterback in the best position to succeed. Go get the wide receiver. Go get Smith, the guard. Go get Bellman, the center. Put everything around him. Draft. Go backwards in the draft. Draft Agabuka. The tackles are all about the same. Add another tackle. Add one in free agency. And I think you'll have a pretty massive turnaround if you get young talent, Pro Bowl-type interior line play, and let the quarterback, you know, sort of like eat, if you will, in the system. We have Hunter Henry, you have Agabuka in the slot. You have they get the wide receiver from Cincinnati. His name is escaping me. T. Higgins. And I think you put yourself in a really great position to decide if he's the guy long term. I think you know within 2 years. But then you can play that cheap contract out, hopefully draft behind it, get your bench, get your young guys in a cycle of being good. And then you go into the second window, which is years 5 through 10 with him, with having pretty legitimate chances to go into the Super Bowl.
Pete, thanks for the call. Yeah, here's where I think that the Patriots have their best chance in free agency, and I don't think it's going to be the high-priced receiver. I think that's probably going to have to happen in a trade. I think if you have to look at anything that they have probably a really good shot at pulling off is getting the offensive line through free agency. I think that's where their biggest and best spends are going to come, and then there's kind of like an example of how it can work where you don't have a bunch of star players, but yet you have an incredible offensive line and you have a team that, you know, that performs well without stars on it. So I look at like the 2003 Chiefs team when I lived in Kansas City. Like, this is a team that had literally no names, absolutely a bunch of no names as receivers, but they had a star running back in, and was it Larry Johnson and Jamal Charles, that was there. It might have been Priest Holmes, and Larry Johnson was the backup running back. So you had a strong running game. Trent Green was your quarterback. So you, if you're saying like, oh, Trent Green, look, Trent Green was in his later years, veteran but not mobile or anything like that, but could see the field and do things. But their offensive line was damn near Hall. It was really one of the best Hall of Fame lines that you've seen, and that's the way you want to set it, is you don't have to spend a whole lot of money on receivers if you can build top line continuity. If you could do that, and then I think that's where you get away from the conversation of, okay, you have to spend this much, and what does the market look like, and so forth. I think if Elliott Wolf goes in there and says, I'm going to try and buy the best line offense, the best offensive line that money can buy, and I'm going to find a couple more guys in the draft to shore up that line that can play. Because think about it. If you're learning from an all-pro lineman, your technique should not be bad if you're learning from them. Right now, everybody's kind of like, okay, whoever does the drill the best gets the play. So if you can get away from that and get into getting yourself an all-pro left tackle, a strong left guard as well, and maybe you move Cole Strange to center because you're not knowing what you have with David Andrews moving forward. Maybe you address the right guard. You address the right guard as well. So if you can address those, you've paid Stevenson, and you believe that, okay, Stevenson could have a bounce back year because he had a bad year last year. But if it was the line, then a better line should improve that. So now the quarterback has a running game. The quarterback has protection. Now, all you have to do is get maybe a receiver, and it doesn't have to be the greatest receiver. You know who's catching balls for that team? It was Dwayne Bowe and Eddie Kinnison, I think, were their receivers for that Chiefs team. And they went 13-3, and they fizzled out in the playoffs. Obviously, they didn't win the Super Bowl. But if you can at least get the offensive line back to snuff, then you don't have to worry about, like, all right, we need to spend a whole lot of free agent money on a receiver, because do you really want to go after a free agent money, a receiver who's going to go after all the money? They're going to want all the money you can give them and really not want to, and kind of want to be here. Like, do you want a receiver that's going to be here that says, I want to be here because you're going to give me the most money? And you'd probably say, like, at least with an offensive lineman, you're like, hey, look, there's a quarterback back there that you'd have to say, if Jaden Daniels wasn't Jaden Daniels right now, Drake May would have been a talk of this draft class. And so, like I said, when the story is told of who was drafted in the last draft of the quarterbacks between Williams, Daniels, and Drake May, I said the conversation is going to be Daniels, May, and then Williams. So if you're an offensive lineman, you're like, hey, I could be part of that. If you look at your guy Slater in Los Angeles, where he potentially could be a trade option. You've got Joe Alt, who's you just drafted last year, who's been playing right tackle. You didn't take him like seventh overall to be your right tackle. You want to move him to left tackle when you can. So these are the trades and the free agent moves that I think that Elliott Wolf really has to make to say, why get into a tug and pull, tug of war match with receivers and their agents about coming here, knowing they're going to up the price, put a tax on it, where an offensive lineman, they're probably more the mindset of, hey, I want to be able to at least protect a quarterback of the future, because if that guy is going to be the future, then I can rock with this team, potentially be there in the mix to win titles. Right? That receiver is kind of like, I pulled up a hammy. Check doesn't change if I pull up a hammy. You know, I mean, look, T. Higgins is probably the name that people scream about, but like, I think T. Higgins missed, what, like 5 games last season? 5 games? And literally at least 5 games. And every game Cincinnati played for, Cincinnati was probably the one team this past season, well, during this season, the season's still going, that every game they played in virtually like had playoff implication because they started off so poorly. And T. Higgins was missing in some of those games. So do you want your number one guy to be the guy who was missing in some key games for his last team? When you need him every day. That's why I said, like, probably get away from thinking, like, you got to go get a T. Higgins. You got to do that. You got to go get a receiver. Like, man, Elliott Wolf, I would be out there like Ted DiBiase as the million-dollar champion, saying money is no object. What do you want? We will put a dance club. We will give you your all-you-can-eat buffet section of the clubhouse, if you will, if that's what it takes for you to get here. because you need meat up front. You've got a running game behind you. If anything, you probably have to start thinking about, like, who is going to be your legit young runner behind. Like, you're going to have to get a third running back. Because if as well as Gibson did, Gibson was a tip-off, right? You knew that it was more likely to going to be a passing down with Gibson in there. You want to get in there someone else who can probably plow the same way that Ramondre Stevenson does and maybe also catch two. Because at some point, let's just say Ramondre Stevenson's season isn't as good this year. Now you've got a well-paid running back who isn't performing. And that, and I don't care who the quarterback is. If you're a young quarterback, the best friend you're going to have is a solid running game, right? There should never be a game where the quarterback outrushes the running back. It doesn't even really even happen with the Baltimore Ravens when, and is despite, you know, Lamar Jackson running for like 900 yards. It's absolutely sick. So go spend for the offensive line. Get ancillary offensive line pieces in the draft, because if you're saying as bad as this team is, you're waiting for a rookie to save your line, build the line through the draft? Hello? Like, I mean, we're still trying to figure out what Cole Strange is, and that's a first rounder. So, like, no, don't build the line through the draft. Supplement the line through the draft. Spend everything you can, Elliott Wolf, on a line.
Especially when you consider the fact that both Campbell and Kelvin Banks, the two top tackles, have guard risk.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, ask an NFL player how many games has a college football star played in the NFL? The answer is none. You don't know for sure that they will trend to be as great as their tape shows. Everybody screams N'Keal Harry, and I'll say this again. Go, Zach, have you ever Googled N'Keal Harry, Arizona State? Have you ever done that?
Yes.
And have you seen his highlights?
Yeah, he was ridiculous at Arizona State.
You would think it was Jerry Rice, DK Metcalf, and it was doing Odell Beckham stuff early. Like, you're like, this guy can't miss. The guy was he wasn't even swinging a miss. It was like three strikes looking. So you cannot tell me that just because someone grades well or looks well on tape in college, you don't know what happens once they get to the NFL. That's why you go spend for the guys who have performed in the NFL at the position that's going to be the most important, right? Because if you have an offensive line that knows what they're doing, they know how to protect the quarterback, you have a quarterback that can buy you time, you do not need super elite receivers to win you games. You know, like, there's never been a T. Higgins free agent level acquisition paid for by the Crafts, and I'll get into that next. That, you know, like, they've never spent like that. Remember, you know, Randy Moss was redeemed. I mean, you talk about a baptism by Savior. Is Belichick making that trade with the Raiders, and the Raiders were done with him. They were done with Randy Moss at that time. For those who remember, Randy Moss was kind of like, they were literally trying to put him in a conversation of, like, I don't know, you can't really compare because you can't think of Randy Moss without who Randy Moss is. But at that time when he was with the Raiders, they were ready to say that, hey, the guy that flashed in Minnesota has no heart for the game of football anymore. The Patriots changed all that. But in terms of T. Higgins, look, there's nothing against the player, but people are screaming like, this guy's going to change everything? No, an offensive line will. And a run game and a quarterback that's efficient. I think if anything in the draft, you probably have to look at another running back, probably in the third, fourth round, and say, and to push Stevenson, right? Because remember, Stevenson came in behind Harris, and Harris was a 1,000-yard rusher. Now, Harris would end up having the injuries with the hamstring and the legs and stuff like that. It kind of fizzled out within a year. But you don't want to find out there's a fizzle out and the guy's getting $9, $10 million a year when he had fizzle out year one of the new contract. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line, KJWEEI. We'll talk more Patriots here, as well as the free agent look for the Patriots, what they might be looking at, the draft as well. But right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics finished their three-game West Coast swing with a 2-1 record after they beat the Mavericks in an NBA Finals rematch. 122-107 the final from Dallas. Jason Tatum led the way with 24 points. Derek White had 23 of his own. Jaylen Brown also added 22. They return home to take on Ime Udoka and the Rockets at the Garden tomorrow night. Tip-off set for 7:30. Bruins also get a big win yesterday afternoon, 3-1 over the Avalanche. Morgan Geeky with two of the three goals, while David Pastrnak potted the empty netter to seal it. They head to Buffalo on Tuesday to take on the Sabres. In Red Sox news, Alex Speer reporting that the Sox are unwilling to go beyond 4 years for free agent Alex Bregman, while it is believed that Bregman has multiple offers of at least 5 years on the table. Astros, Cubs, Blue Jays, and Tigers are all known to be in the mix along with the Red Sox. Conference championship weekend is here in the NFL. Eagles hosting the Commanders on the NFC side. That one goes down at 3. And the Bills head to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. That one kicks off at 6:30. Don't forget, you can hear Westwood One's coverage of both of those games right here on WEEI starting at 2 o'clock. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ Carson coming up after this.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is KJ Carson on WEEI.
So, Adam, last one here. Earlier today, this is sort of more looking forward into the draft. You tweeted out around 11:30 today, Titans President of Football Operations Chad Brinker at today's press conference to introduce GM Mike Borgonzi. We won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft. If you had to guess, not holding your feet to the fire per se, but if you had to guess, who do you think that generational talent might be, or do you have any intimations as to which way the Titans would be going?
The defensive lineman from Penn State or the wide receiver cornerback from Colorado. That quote told me that they are not locked in to take a quarterback at one. That is not what New England wanted to hear. That quote today.
No, you should have listened to KJ a while ago. I said, look, Abdul Carter is the face of this coming draft because he's the one that flashes just like the other guy wore 11 at Penn State too. KJWEEI 617-779-7937. All right, remember NFL football, AFC and NFC title game, both carried on WEEI this afternoon when Westwood One picks up its coverage at 2. Then from 11 to 2, I believe it's You Better You Bet with Nick Costas from BetQL getting into. But before you get into that betting action, I've got a parlay, Zach. 1,287-1.
I need that after my yesterday. You need it.
After your yesterday, and this involves two games. Two-game parlay, six legs. 1,287-1. Yeah, so, look, the Patriots potentially missing out on Abdul Carter. I don't think it answers the long-term issue, but I think it addresses the short-term situation. So I don't look at anybody's mock draft because, like, now you have to really look through a minefield of, like, hey, this is the mock draft I did in my basement for free, and hopefully people will click it, and then I can charge Tide, and maybe they'll advertise me with me, versus, hey, if you type something wrong, we've got a legal department you have to answer to, so I'm using NFL.com's mock draft that they've done so far. And, yes, this is where the conversation is. Abdul Carter won to the Titans. So what that means to me is, if I'm the Patriots, I don't have to commit to picking at 4. At this point, I do not commit to picking at 4. I am a big fan of drafting where you are located. If that you should know who the best available is that's available to you at that time. You could perceive needs that are ahead of you. But now you almost say, okay, if there's going to be a quarterback at least available at 4, do you trade to that team that you know needs a quarterback? So it has here, Tennessee taking Abdul Carter, 1. Travis Hunter, 2 to Cleveland. That makes sense, right? Because he's probably going to be a cornerback before he will be, and an occasional wide receiver. Giants take Cam Ward at 3. They need a quarterback. That makes sense. And then here come the Patriots. They say Will Campbell at 4. I say sell that pick. Because now there's still a quarterback on the board, and somebody needs a quarterback. If you're Vegas, you're probably like, you know what? Do we get on the phone and make that call? Does Brady make that call? Holding his nose. Yeah. Knowing that the Jets may do the, if you're the Jets, do you make the phone call? Like, that's what's crazy. What if the Jets offer you something better than the Raiders can? I don't think the Raiders can. The Raiders can offer you something better. But if the Raiders feel like they can just sit at 6 and get their quarterback, Well, the Jets right behind him need a quarterback at 7. The Saints probably need a quarterback at 9. The 49ers at 11 may be sniffing around for a quarterback. And if you believe that quarterback that's remaining is Shedeur Sanders, you don't think Kyle Shanahan may get on the phone? Because remember, Kyle Shanahan got on the phone for Trey Lance. How'd that work out? So the Patriots really sit in a great position at 4 to negotiate the haul that they want, and I would only talk to teams that need a quarterback because there's still a quarterback available. The belief was that of the two quarterbacks that were really in the conversation, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, you believe that both of them were going to be gone at 3. However, that would have meant that Abdul Carter would have been available at 4. But if Abdul Carter goes to Tennessee, and the word is that Tennessee will probably, you know, sniff around maybe for Kirk Cousins or something like that, there's a quarterback available and somebody needs a quarterback. And you hear, we talk about this all the time. We just talked about this with Drake May. If you go get the quarterback, then you can spend the way you want to spend. So the Patriots probably don't take that call from the Jets, but do you refuse it? If they're willing to give you, if they're willing to give you everything in the world to be able to get ahead of Vegas to get that quarterback? Because if you don't have Aaron Rodgers, you have less than Zach Wilson now. If you're San Francisco, do you get on the phone and say, hey, look, we'll give you number 11, we'll give you Deebo Samuel, and our second round pick. Do you take that phone call? Do you take that phone call? I'd be like, hold on a second, let me take a bite of my sandwich here for a second, you know. And you move down to 11 because here's the thing, you still might be able to get the player you target. So let's say it's Will Campbell that you want. Jacksonville's not taking a tackle, the Raiders need a quarterback, the Jets need a quarterback. Maybe the Panthers take him, maybe, but they're slotted to take a wide receiver. If you're New Orleans, maybe you take a tackle, but you need help on defense. Your defense is horrible. Maybe the Bears take him, but they're targeting a guard. So you potentially could get what, Kelvin Banks' name still hadn't even shown up in this yet. So you could potentially move down to 10, maybe you move down to 11. With San Francisco, say, hey, look, you don't want to do the Brock Purdy thing. You can move off of that now. You can do that now. Go get who you believe is the quarterback that can work with everything that you've got the way you want and get a reset. Because they're going to need a reset, especially with the IU contract, McCaffrey's contract. They need a reset. Like what San Francisco doesn't want to really do probably is spend money on the quarterback. If I'm the Patriots, why wouldn't I take the call from San Francisco? If they're going to give me a player that I can know that could be an impact right away and have control over the contract, right? Because Deebo Samuel's contract goes until 26. Yeah, it's when 20. I keep forgetting we're 25 now. His contract goes to 26, so you have control over the contract. You can still get the player that you want potentially at 11. You would have your choice of either Banks or Will Campbell at 11, okay? And you probably get an additional second-round pick if you do this deal with them. So imagine you take the phone call from the 49ers if you're the Patriots. You switch from 4 to 11. You're still able to get Banks or Campbell. One of those two are probably going to be there. You get Deebo Samuel. You'll have two picks in the second round, two picks in the third round. And you don't even know what you've done in free agency. This is why I say maybe you don't necessarily go and spend absolutely ridiculous like on T. Higgins. Does that sound as crazy as possible? Because I don't know if you've been seeing what's been going on with Brock Purdy here lately. It's been stinking it up. And now they're like, does he get his contract? What is his contract? What do you do? Well, they don't have that control over him because he wasn't a first-round guy. This is a guy who's there's a look-see guy, but now you think he's going to ask for low money? Or do you say, if we can move up to 4 and get Shedeur Sanders, we don't have to worry about the money for McCaffrey. We don't have to worry about the new money that we just gave to Ayuk. We can continue to short. We can continue to pay Bosa. We can pay our defense. We can go get more people. Just that Deebo will be the guy that's out, and I think they'll be okay with that. I mean, Deebo Samuel, even though he's been nicked, I think he played 15 of 16 games. Even though being nicked up, he played in 15 of 17 games. Shows up. Josh McDaniels probably, now here's where we tie the bow, if you will. Josh McDaniels then would have a player that can do some of the creative Josh McDaniel things he would want to do from the wide receiver position. I just don't see how any of these wide receivers on this team right now, as composed, can pull off any real trick plays that would have defenses worried. Like, you put Deebo Samuel in motion, there's somebody follow. If you don't follow him, this guy may run, stop right at the line, catch, and now it's a one-on-one tackle situation. Good luck with that. Or he's in motion, and he comes off quick on a slant and everything, and then if you try and get him with an arm tackle, he breaks free. Like, you've got to pay attention to that. That's where, I'm not the Patriots. I'm just a guy here on the radio that's talking about football and stuff like that. But why not have a conversation with San Francisco? Especially if if there's a quarterback still remaining at 4, you can still get your tackle probably at 11. At 11. You could even kind of pump up the Jets a bit. Oh, yeah, we'll talk. What do you want to offer up? You want to give up that Garrett Wilson guy? What about, you want to turn Davante Adams over to us? We'll take that. So if Abdul Carter is taken first, it may put less pressure on the Patriots because that means there's a quarterback available for someone who desperately needs, who's down the road. And that would be the Jets need one. I still think the Saints will be on the hunt for one. I think they'll be ready to let Derek Carr go even with his deal. 49ers as well. All right, I told you I'd get you some money and some parlays. Let's make some money. Hit it.
Hey, I won the bet.
Here, $1.
I can give you half.
Relax.
How do you pay, man?
Straight cash, homie.
I know my Sunday school teacher who, it's funny, Zach, true story, my Sunday school teacher from when I grew up in New Jersey lives in New Hampshire. So, please, Mr. Fancoach, forgive me for doing a betting segment on a Sunday. Let's start with this three-leg parlay. 55-1 are the odds, all right? I break it down into 2-3, but it's combined into 6. So if you want to just do the three-leg, here's one at 55-1 in the Buffalo at Kansas City game. Take the Bills on the money line. Noah Gray, anytime touchdown scorer. And Curtis Samuel, touchdown, anytime touchdown score. Those three will give you 55-1 odds. Put down $100. That's $5,600. Jeez, that'd be nice. The reason why I say Noah Gray, because Patrick Mahomes has this weird way of finding Noah Gray for touchdowns. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. When everybody's looking for trying to bracket Kelsey, especially when they get close, Curtis Samuel has become now the weapon, the mini weapon of choice for Josh Allen. So, and I think the pervasive feeling in New England is that they want the Bills to win just so it guarantees that the Chiefs do not have a three-peat. And then here's another three-leg for the Washington-Philadelphia game. This one's at 22-1. Take the Commanders on the money line. Look, the Commanders beat the Eagles earlier in the season. If you put the game in Jalen Hurts' hands to throw the ball, these are when things can get ugly. Plus, in Philadelphia, you have an audience that can get very anxious and that anxiety play onto the field. It'll be a very interesting game just from a psychological perspective. So take the Commanders' money line. Zach Ertz, anytime touchdown, like one of the favorite targets of Jane Daniels. And Jane Daniels as an anytime touchdown scorer. Again, that's only a three-leg parlay, 22-1. I get $2,200. Is this? Am I not getting you some money here, Zach, with these parlays?
You are. They're printing.
So you ready for the scared money? Don't make money? Combine those two three-leg parlays, turn them into a six-leg parlay, a 1,287-1 odds, where an $100 bet will pay you $128,800. You could forgive a lot of sins with that amount of money, couldn't you? You could forgive sins. We wrap up next here on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
KJWEEI. I guess your Sunday pleasure. It can be very tough coming in doing once a week because it's like a new rust every week that you have to wear off. So I appreciate you working with me. If you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Like, I'm really like you Zach, you get rusty because you forget to do like the important corporate mentions and stuff like that. And I think it's like, you know what? The most important thing I need to make sure is like I'm out on time. Like, don't go over, KJ. Stop talking past the... But look, it's just look a lot of fun to be here. And if you missed any of the show, whether you listen for 3 minutes or 13 minutes, I appreciate all of it. 2 minutes, I'll have to question you. But the Odyssey app is free. You just type WEEI once you're at the app, and it'll bring you right here. And then you can listen back chapter by chapter. Previous shows as well. Greg Hill as well. And don't forget, there is... Now, it's pretty cool. They have this thing called Hill Notes on the Greg Hill Show. Because on the Odyssey app, you can leave a voice message, and then they will play it on the show. Like creativity, like that's the one thing someone taught me in this industry years ago. They said, "You know what? You know the difference, KJ, between a $50,000 jock and a $500,000 jock." I said, "What, pictures on the boss?" He said, "No, well, yes, but it takes zero to be creative. Like it does not take it does that costs nothing to be creative, and that is just an absolutely fascinating usage of the technology." On the Greg Hill Show. And I'm not just saying that because I'm pumping now the corporate stuff, as you hear me mentioning the corporate stuff, but that's just very ingenious of how to use the technology that's in front of it. So, yeah, get on there. Be like, I can't stand when KJ plays all that R&B music. You can say that on the app through the message portion, which is the little orange button to the right when you come to WEEI. All right, text messages, 617-779-7937. What you got, Zach?
One texter wants to know who you'd rather the Patriots hire besides Josh McDaniels, who's available and who would want to come to the polar vortex of New England.
Well, when it comes to coaching, I don't think it matters because at the end of the day, you have a canvas to be able to show your body of work in terms of an offensive coordinator, right? Now, here's the other side of it. Robert Kraft isn't paying. He knows what to pay Josh McDaniels and what he can get away with paying him because he's paid him before. And if Josh McDaniels was not in demand for, like, if you're not taking him away from somebody else, there's no competing salary. So I'd say it's different for the coaches, right? Because the coaches are not going to be like, oh, man, I'm not going to go to New England, the head coach. Because the other part of it is you do have the option of going to coach in the Arena League if it stays open for 3 weeks. So, look, I think NFL coaches see it completely different than the player does. The player sees themselves as the performer. And the coach sees themselves as the director. And when you're the director, you'll say, I'll be willing to direct a team that's in New England or in Jacksonville. Why? Because it gives me the chance to be a director. And if that means that San Francisco opens up or the Dallas job opens, which, just as an example, they will see my body of work directing these little small one-act plays in New England or Jacksonville, so forth. Another one.
This one's a trade idea for the number 4 overall pick, a trade with the Saints. Their first, second, 2026 second, and Chris Olave.
Might as well ask for the wife and kids, too. There's, like, when you're doing these type of trades, you also, it's interesting when I hear from the fans because they always think of their side of the table. I've always said, you've got to think of the other people you're trading with in terms of what they're willing to part with. Because, you know, like I could say, like, give me everything you got and I'll give you nothing, right? Because if you're like, you said, I think he said first twice. So really, this year swap, a one next year, and a two, and Olave?
A one, two twos, and Olave.
One, two twos, and Olave. No. No, 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 no. Because you still, because the other part is, Olave is still on his rookie deal. So Olave, you still have control over. So that money... Like, there's more control that they have there than what they would have in bringing in other guys, right? Because then you would say, okay, that means we're going to go get another receiver right away, and probably they need, you only have one receiver now, so you'd be giving up your lone receiver to go get one receiver. If anything, no. Like I said, the reason why I brought up San Francisco is because you look at San Francisco And for them to miss the playoffs and have the type of spend that they have, I think ultimately they're saying, well, McCaffrey stays. We're not getting rid of Bosa. We got to show up. I forgot their middle linebacker's name. I can't remember his name, but I seen him in a commercial. We're going to keep him. We just signed Ayuk, right? And then with Brock Purdy, well, yeah, he's gotten us to some nice places, but do we feel like we've got another Jimmy Garoppolo in our hands? And he's going to ask for a he's going to, like, think about it. Sam Darnold, like, for them to bring back Sam Darnold, let's just say San Francisco says, now we're going to go for, you think they're going to be willing to pay Sam Darnold $40 million a year? Because that's what the rate's going to be. People laughed at me when I joked. I said, hey, once Mac Jones gets to year five, if he's still a keepable quarterback, he's a $40 million a year quarterback. Guess what the low rate now is for a quarterback? About $40 million. So if I'm San Francisco, I get on the phone with the Patriots and say, we'll give you 11. We'll give you this year's number two. We'll swap this year's number two and the player. Then that means that, one, San Francisco doesn't have to commit any future picks, you know, because, like, what if the second coming of, you know, of Orlando Pace comes next year and you're like, damn, the Patriots have our pick from that. No, you say, okay, you know that you won't be able to keep Deebo Samuel because he's really the person you see as over-leveraged in terms of it. You've got Juwan Jennings. You've got Ricky Pearsall. So you've building that nucleus. You know, Ayuk, you have to. You just gave him his money. So you get on the phone with them and say, Deebo Samuel, we swap 11 for 4, and we'll give you our second round this year so we can go get our quarterback. I'd be like, hey, when did we pop the champagne? Because if we don't know what the draft room looks like in terms of, are the Patriots leaning Kelvin Banks? Are they leaning? Are they leaning Will Campbell? Or do they see a big difference between the two? Because if they don't, in that mock draft that I mentioned from NFL.com, has Kelvin Banks going to Miami at 13? So if, like, okay, you might say Will Campbell at 4 and Kelvin Banks at 13, there's this great difference. I would say maybe not really, because all those teams in the middle don't have that same need. So if one goes at 11, the other goes at 13, it's just really the two teams that really need a tackle at that point. So watch out for San Francisco. You know, if I was the Patriots, say, if that wanted it sweetened a little bit more, give us your fourth rounder next year as well. So that way you throw it in, you say, hey, that might stick. Because if you're the Patriots, look, if you do that deal with San Francisco, you get Deebo Samuel, you'll still draft at 11, you would have two twos, and you would have two threes, and those two threes in both rounds, in round one, in rounds two and three, your additional round pick will be within the top 15 of that round. So you would be getting in a massive haul if you could pull that off. All right, Zach Coe, man, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for dealing with my rustiness. I'll deal with my sore back on my own. You Better You Bet coming up next, and then Boomer Valenti, and then we've got your full coverage AFC Championship, NFC Championship. The NFC Championship is first with Commanders and Eagles, and then you've got, of course, the Bills and the Chiefs as the 6:30 game. Thank you so much for hanging out, and thank you for listening to WEEI. See ya!
Greg Hill Show.
They are suggesting that they would like to do away with the penny.
I told you, the only time I use penny is...